We at the Pet Collective Podcast are not medical professionals. We do offer advice, but please always consult your veterinarian before making any medical decisions. This week, we're talking about CBD products for your pets, how they're used, do they work? And we're also discussing health and wellness for your dogs and cats, what supplements to use, what to avoid, and some tips for reducing separation anxiety.
If you don't like humans, that's understandable. I'd rather spend time with my furry animal. It's the Pet Collective, yeah.
Hey, I'm Allison Seeky.
And I'm Kyle Kittleson.
Welcome to the Pet Collective. This is the podcast for pet parents and the pet obsessed. So since this is a new show, I just want to explain to the listeners what to expect. Each week on the show, we're going to cover one or two topics. Might be something that's making headlines in the pet world, or it might be something evergreen, like training tips. And then at the end of every episode, we'll answer some audience questions from the Pet Collective community. I am so excited about this new podcast because I am pet obsessed. And you are too, right, Kyle? Will you tell people a little bit more about you if they don't know?
I am also pet obsessed. I'm an animal behaviorist. I worked with a few dozen species of animals, including domestic and exotic animals. Of course, wow. My heart will always be with the dogs of the world. And I am really excited to partner with you because as an animal behaviorist, I know the behavior part. But sometimes I forget, oh, I already know all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, you forget what it's like to be flawed and not be a perfect pet parent.
Hardly. I am incredibly flawed, and we don't even have enough time to go into that. But why don't you discuss your background with these amazing pets?
Yeah, Kyle, don't take my flaws away from me, okay? Because that's what I have here. You might be the expert, but I am the parent who's trying my best and, you know what, sometimes failing, okay? But I do have a lot of pet experience. I've had a dog most of my life. Actually, before I even had my first dog, I got a picture of someone else's dog screen printed onto a t-shirt with the name Skittles under it so I could pretend that was my dog and tell people about it. But I also am a pet sitter, so I have had the privilege of pet sitting pigs, possums, cockatoos.
I thought we were going with a P thing.
Oh, yeah, no.
Parrots.
Sure, turtles, rats. So I feel like I have a lot of very informal little tips to add, and also probably some bad examples that we can work on together. Because
I love it.
Some of them I feel like I could improve upon. Some of them feel like it's ingrained in just like me and my dog Peach's routine. She's over there sleeping behind me. But I'm hoping people can find little grains of knowledge to learn from my mistakes.
Okay, so let's talk about CBD products for your pets.
Okay, so you have given your dog CBD oil.
Yeah.
I'm going to read. I've given Callie CBD just as a test. My personal opinion, I don't think it had a huge effect on her behavior, her demeanor, or her overall quality of life. And I have another supplement I will I'll say right after I read this list that I think is actually better. What is CBD used to treat in animals? Arthritis, pancreatitis, asthma, intestinal inflammation, neuropathy pain, nerve-related pain, inflammation on oxidative stress.
And now, no chill.
And that. Now, I only know what maybe half of those things are, but if your vet has told you any of those, maybe you should ask about CBD. Callie was on a different raw food diet than she was on currently, and part of that included her drinking a very small bowl of fermented goat's milk.
Oh!
And what I noticed was that at night when I'd give it to her, about 20 minutes later, she was calm. She went to her bed. She stretched. She rolled up in a little ball, and she just went into this deep sleep.
Wow.
And so I reached out to the company and said, what's the deal? Like,
Magic milk, yeah.
Yes, is this a correlation or a causation? And they said probably causation because the milk has a very, very little bit of alcohol in it.
And so
when she gets that, it kind of calms her down. The alcohol didn't have any negative effect, and it was wonderful. So for people who are transitioning their dog to a raw diet or their dog is already on a raw diet, I would look into, they have goat's milk, they have cow's milk, kefir cow's milk, if I'm saying that right, kefir.
I believe it's kefir.
All of those are great pronunciations, but look into that because I've had great, great experiences with that.
Wow. Here I was thinking you weren't supposed to give alcohol to your dogs. I mean, you're not. You're definitely not.
Definitely not. Yeah. So why did you start putting peaches on this CBD?
I started it because of the separation anxiety that we were talking about. So because Peaches has a history of, kicking her face until it bleeds if I leave her alone for too long, I thought maybe this will calm her nerves. Maybe this will soothe her anxiety. And I think what it does is it kind of knocks her out. She just gets sleepy and forgets to worry that I'm not there. So it seems to be helping, but I wouldn't say it's like a miracle cure.
Well, yeah, it's certainly boomed as a dog trainer. I noticed maybe, 6 years ago, it really started to take off. CBD was at every pet fair I went to, every pet festival, every dog, thing that I attended. There was some vendor there trying to sell it. And we know now that the market for supplementation for pets, specifically the population of aging and overweight dogs, has now reached more than $1 billion. In fact, it's a multi-billion dollar industry at this point. But a lot of people, like you said, Elson, a lot of people are assuming that this new supplement is going to be the miracle cure. It's a fix-all. And I feel like, especially our generation, we want things fixed quickly, yesterday, and with minimal work from us. And when it comes to your dogs, it's just not always that easy. I have seen people claim to treat every behavioral problem with CBD. And while maybe it could be a nice addition to proper training, I have yet to see a case where a dog truly has separation anxiety and it is completely extinguished because they put a few drops in their kibble before they leave,
Totally. It's all about setting my dog up for a positive experience. And then I find that this just helps ease her into it.
Yeah. How much is it?
It's not cheap, the one that I get. But again, because marijuana products, whether they're psychoactive or not, are so unregulated, it's important to me to get a product that is transparent and I know what's in it. So I think my thing of it, I went for the big one because I knew I was going to be using it. I wasn't just trying it out. And it was like $80.
Oh, and how long did that last you?
Well, right now I haven't been leaving the house very much, so I haven't been using it. I still got it. Yeah. But I think normally that would last me like 2-3 months.
Okay, that's a pretty good deal. But with quarantine going on and on and on, I am anticipating that whenever we get back to whatever the new normal is and people are leaving their house more or houses more regularly, we are going to see an increase in behavioral problems from not just our dogs, but perhaps all of our pets. And it might not be full-blown separation anxiety. A lot of people think if their dog barks for 3 minutes after they leave, they have separation anxiety. And that just means your dog barked for 3 minutes after you left and then calmed down and went about their day. But I think we will see an increase of those behavioral problems, and people are going to be looking for quick fixes. And the quick fix of a CBD oil by itself, I personally, as a dog trainer, would not recommend. But if you want to use that in conjunction with other best practices, then yeah, do that. And if you want best practices, maybe we can hit that at the end of the episode, because a lot of people, even if their dog doesn't have full-blown separation anxiety, they do want to make the departure experience a little more reinforcing for their pets.
Totally. And I feel like there are things that you can do like a week or two before you go back to work or resume whatever your routine is going to be that can help set your dog up for success.
Okay, so you're the expert when it comes to administering CBD to your pet. So how should they do it? And what are the different ways your dog or cat can get CBD?
Yeah. Okay. So CBD comes in a couple different forms. And in my opinion, the most effective one for your pet is going to be the oil, the tincture.
Yes.
Okay. And that comes in a little dropper. It's got the highest concentration of CBD. Again, if you can find one that has a full spectrum, which just has like a little tiny hint of THC, there's no psychoactive properties, but it just helps activate the CBD, I would go with that one. This one also lasts the longest when it's in that form. Now, you can also find capsules. Capsules are great. For me personally, there's no way that I could get my dog to swallow that capsule. So you could try breaking it up and putting it over food, but that's a good option too. And also, there are creams. They are the least effective, but I would recommend a cream if your dog is not going to ingest something that tastes like a hemp plant, or if they have like muscle pain. You could use the cream as a little bit, like massage it in there, and that might help that specific targeted area.
Yeah, and creams for obviously most dogs and cats, they're covered in fur, they're hard to put on there.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and this is not for sure, but I don't think there's any issue if they lick a little bit of the cream wherever you put it, mm-hmm. but I would still place it somewhere where they couldn't get it. For example, when Callie gets her tick medicine, I put it in between her shoulders on her back. There's no way she's going to be able to lick that because you just don't want them doing that. So I would try to put the cream somewhere where they wouldn't lick, you know, be able to get at it, because dogs and cats will do that.
Yeah, and the way that it's going to be absorbed through their digestive system is going to be different than it is on your skin. And if it's a cream, yes. It's meant to be on their skin, not in their mouth. All right, let's get into supplementation for your dogs and cats.
So do you give Peaches any supplementations?
I do. I used to give her omegas, but it was I think it was wild Alaskan salmon oil, and I had a lot of complaints from people who were like, yo, your dog's breath just smells like fish.
Yeah.
So I stopped giving her that, and now I give her a CBD tincture, actually, when I leave her alone for more than 3 hours.
There are some basic supplements to consider for all doggy parents out there. Dog multivitamins can be a good supplement if you're making your dog's food yourself to ensure the vitamin levels are met. Omega-3 and 6 fatty acids help keep their coat shiny and healthy. I tend to just put a couple raw eggs. I include the shell in Callie's breakfast and dinner. I don't do it every time, but if I feel like she needs a little oomph, little extra, I'll give it to her.
Wait,
yeah,
so
because
that's
I gave her
for
fish
the omegas.
Oil.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I gave her fish oil, and she didn't smell bad, but I smelled bad. I was like, God, I don't want to smell this twice a day. It's disgusting, you know? And I used to work with marine animals, so I smelled like fish all the time. I have done my dues. Now I'm like ready to not smell like fish. So I just use an egg. It seems to work great. Now, Callie is my 8-year-old yellow lab. She is taking, she started last year because the vet said she has pre-arthritis, and it's so sad to me. So
she's on some. Could you tell?
I didn't tell. And actually, here's how embarrassing this was, because everyone assumes like I just can predict my dog's future because of my background.
Of course.
And I'm a normal dog parent like everybody else. I just, you know, go to my vet when I have questions. But what the vet noticed was that her fingernails were kind of curving a little bit. And it was very subtle, but the curve was could be an indication of pre-arthritis. And when she pointed it out, it was very clear and I noticed it. So I put her on Cosequin, which is one of my favorite. I've used them with animals I've worked with professionally, and now Callie's on it. And I noticed a huge difference in her activity level. So I think she was actually hurting a little bit, but she gets this pill once a day, no problem. She eats it right up. I use them as treats. She gets so excited to take them, so it's great.
That is great. So what is the active ingredient in that?
It's glucosamine. And they have different ways you can administer it. This one is just like a chewable tablet, so you don't have to. You know how some dogs, you got to really have them swallow that pill, and it's so frustrating. And people use peanut butter or rub their nose or do all these things,
or like a piece of cheese that you like mush around it. Yes. It's horrible. Yeah.
So I thought of you yesterday because I went outside to go feed her, and I opened the beef pack. She has three different flavors, and last night Callie enjoyed some beef, and as I put it in the bowl, it smelled like beef.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this kind of smells good.
No.
Like, I was like, this is appetizing. And remember when we were talking about, could you eat, like, live on dog food or whatever? And I was like, could fry this up and put some A1 sauce on it, I would be probably
fine. Which you could. Nobody's looking.
You know, if someone wants to PayPal me to do it, I'll videotape it and do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay, great. Good. Done. Next week. Seriously.
And I'm cheap, like $10, I'll do it. Now, there's in addition to glucosamine, there's another supplement, and I had to look up how to say it, and I love the Google pronunciation tool, because how they say all the words is just like so perfect, and this is chondroitin.
Yeah, that sounds like a planet.
Chondroitin. So if you aren't into glucosamine, ask your vet about chondroitin. It's apparently great for dogs who are predisposed to hip dysplasia. Have you ever done one of those blood tests where you figure out the different breeds your dog is?
I did one that was a swab, like a saliva swab. I did it for Christmas last year, and I found out that Peaches is a Shih Tzu, Mini Poodle, Pomeranian, and then 25% question mark.
Oh, 25% question mark.
Yeah, so who knows? But it's nothing like what they told me when I rescued her. So who knows who's right?
What about some supplements to consider when it comes to taking care of cats?
Little kitties. Oh, that was a really bad British accent.
I liked it.
Thank you. There are some essential fatty acids that can be really great supplements for cats. Like omega-3s, omega-6s, they're touted for their ability to keep a cat's coat shiny and prevent shedding. They also protect a cat's immune system, their liver, their eyes, their brain, their joints. You want to make sure that your cat is getting enough of these fatty acids, whether it's supplements or in their food.
Okay, so look, probiotics. Do you take a probiotic personally?
Yes, I do.
Ooh, good for you.
I have like three different kinds and I rotate them because you never know.
You are a fancy, fancy woman.
Yeah, it's Hollywood.
I do hear a lot from my friends who have cats that their cats have liver problems. Mm. And their vet often recommends milk thistle. And it's not a milk thistle that you have to get prescribed from. It's just like your, you know, go-to milk thistle. And so you may want to ask your vet if you're a cat owner who you think might have some problems with their liver, to see if that's something you want your cat to go on.
That's so great, because if your cat is experiencing like an overflow of toxins, the last thing you want to do is throw more chemicals in there. So that's awesome.
Now you and I feel like live in the supplement capital of the world, Hollywood, Los Angeles, Southern California.
I took some before bed last night. Yeah.
I mean, we are injecting kale right into our bloodstream. We've got crystals under our bed. We are putting moon powder under our eyes. It is just like whatever we can get to look, feel better. We do it. But when it comes to our dogs, you can't go overboard. There are some supplements to avoid. Allison, what supplements should we be careful of overusing for our cats and dogs?
Yeah, I just want to also give a great example of that. So you know how the human multivitamins that are gummies taste amazing? You can't...
Yes, because I just stole some from my dad. They're so good. I eat them like candy.
That's the thing. I've actually read about cases where people have gotten really sick from doing that. So in the same way, you don't want to do that with your dog. You don't want to give them a ton of treats that have all of these different supplements in them and different health benefits, because it's just going to be too much for their little system to process all at once. You got to space them out. So in particular, if they have too much calcium in their diet, whether it's supplemented or in their food, it can cause skeletal problems, and especially in large breed puppies. So just got to watch out for that.
And all of this too is if your dog has a well-rounded diet, where I spend a lot of money on my dog is on diet.
Yeah.
I do spend money on toys, but a lot of toys you can, a lot of the purpose of toys is just mental enrichment, and you can accomplish that in lots of other ways than buying a $95 toy. But when it comes to their health and nutrition, that's where I spend my money. And so even, so people who are using supplements are probably using it because their dog, for whatever reason, can't eat a certain type of food or can't get the type of nutrition or nourishment that they need. And so supplements come into place. What other supplements should we avoid?
Yeah, it's definitely, supplements are not a substitute for having a good, well-rounded diet for your dog.
Yes.
Or cat. We have to make sure that we're not giving our babies too much vitamin A because it can harm their blood vessels and cause dehydration and joint pain, which are really hard to detect, especially dehydration. Yeah. So, yeah, you definitely have to watch out for that. And then too much vitamin D can also prompt your dog to stop eating. It can harm their bones and it can cause their muscles to atrophy. So that's another one that you think is your friend, but you just don't want to overdo it.
I am not a cat parent. I have never grown up with cats. I have worked with cats. I've trained cats. And so there is some good general supplementation when it comes to cats that you should know. Most cats, if fed the correct portions, already get most, if not all, of their daily vitamins and nutrition requirements from that food alone because they are carnivores. Most cats eat a healthier diet than the average human. If you've seen most cat food out there, it's pretty legit.
And it's lean.
It's lean, yes. It's important, though, to remember that giving them too many supplements, not a good idea. And I know we're going to belabor this point, but talk to your veterinarian. You've got to be really on this. What was most, and here's to illustrate this point. Earlier, I was talking about giving Callie Benadryl. And my doctor said, give her some Benadryl. So I gave her one, maybe two pills. And the recommended dose for a human was about the same. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, my dog's 50 pounds, so that should be more than enough. My veterinarian said, no, the way your dog processes Benadryl means you could give them four or five times the recommended human dose because they require so much of it. On the flip side, if you give your, you know, 8-pound cat a little bit of calcium, for them, it could be like way too much.
Totally.
So you can't just assume that because it's smaller, they get a smaller dose because they might actually need more. And you can't assume that what you're giving them won't be too much because these are very, very tiny animals. So I said at the top that I'd give some quick tips for separation anxiety. I feel like most of the clients that are contacting me with separation anxiety are really excited to use CBD. And if you are, great, continue to use it. But in addition to that, here are some quick tips that should give you pretty quick results. The first one is to increase the amount of exercise and mental stimulation your dog is getting.
Yeah.
A lot of people think they're getting their dog a lot of exercise because they took them on a walk. But if your dog's heart rate did not get up, it may not be enough to calm them down later when you leave. Allison made a great point earlier about pretending to leave or leaving only for a few moments and then coming back while at the same time not making it a big deal. How many of you out there, when you leave the house, make it a huge parade? You go, all right, well, I'm going to go, but I'll miss you, and I'll be back later. And you protect this house, okay? This is your house. And it's just like on and on. And the whole time, your dog is getting revved up like, oh, my gosh, something's going on.
Yeah,
same thing happens.
Building it up. It's building it up into an event. Yeah.
And same thing happens when you come home. You say, oh, welcome. I
missed
I'm back.
You so much.
Yeah. Yes. And your dog's like, well, I must, this must be a big deal that you're back. So I'm going to make this a big deal. Just be a cool person. Your dog will be a cool person. Leave your dog with stuff to do. We're going to talk in future episodes about toys, puzzle toys, and whatnot. But a frozen Kong with some frozen peanut butter in it is a great thing that will keep most dogs occupied when you leave. And how you leave is you give them that frozen Kong, maybe the TV's on, you're in the kitchen cleaning up your last bit of dishes, and then you grab your keys and you walk out the door with no goodbyes. By the time your dog realizes you're gone, the dog's like, I just ate a whole bunch of peanut butter, probably time for a nap anyway, you're good to go. You can leave your dog, if you do crate your dog, leave your dog with stuff to do in the crate. You can also leave your dog with a shirt or a you know, some pajamas that smell like you, sleep in them for 3 days or something, and then leave it in your dog's crate. Sometime that will calm them down. Yes, okay, this is the answer to the question. Is that dog TV thing for real? Have you guys seen that? TV for dogs?
I have a DVD. Yeah, I still have DVDs. I have a DVD that is called Dog Sitter. And it's just a bunch of dogs barking, and it actually prompts my dog to bark more.
Yeah, I can't believe they have dogs barking on that. That seems
not
great.
Oh, it's awful. I will definitely show it to you sometime.
Please do. But dog TV, or you can go on YouTube and find videos made for dogs. I'm telling you guys, they really researched this stuff and found whatever piques a dog's interest. It is incredible. I mean, I have watched my dog be totally asleep, and I'm flipping through the channels, and I stop on NBC, she doesn't wake up. I stop on Bravo, she doesn't wake up. I stop on dog TV, all alert.
Wow.
What is this?
Wow, okay.
And I'm like, it's just incredible. So you can look into that. Sometimes it's simple as just leaving some music or TV on. Separation anxiety can be very difficult. Stay patient. I can't overemphasize exercise enough, but be consistent with your training. If you try this once and it doesn't work, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means you tried it once. Of course it doesn't work. I don't go to the gym one time and then wake up with muscles. You have to go a gazillion times. Well, I would have to go a gazillion times, but you know what I mean. So you have to continue on with this, and you can train it and do it, because if your dog truly is suffering, and I mean that word, I chose that word on purpose, suffering from separation anxiety, you need to address it. And if you need to work with a positive reinforcement trainer, make the investment, because it's worth it. Do we have any questions from the pet collective
community? You know, I believe that we do. Oh, this one comes from YouTube. Valencia asks, are pet supplements more effective in pill form or liquid form? And how do I trick my 14-year-old ginger cat into taking them?
Ginger cats. Well, Allison, you know the answer to the first one.
Yeah, I do. Supplements come in all kinds of forms, and different, depending on what the supplement is, different forms are more effective. So again, sorry, ask your vet. Ask your vet based on the supplement that you're looking for. And how do you trick your cat into taking them? Try and cover that up in some food.
Yeah, and one thing you can do if they're being a little picky, because dogs and cats, I have seen them eat around an almost microscopic pill because they just know.
Yeah.
Is you can reward them for taking the pill by then giving them their food. So instead of saying, like, here's the whole farm, there's a pill in there, just say, look, if you can get this pill, then I'll give you your food. It may take a couple times for them to understand what's going on, but sometimes that can be effective. And
I love that.
And I would also look into adding, if you're going to add especially a liquid supplement or medication, adding something that you know your pet loves with it. For example, Callie loves peanut butter. If I get out a jar to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, she just thinks like heaven opened up. So if I want to trick her, I'm going to give her that extra treat. You might think, well, they eat their kibble. It's like, yeah, but they get kibble every day. Give them something that they don't get every day, so it makes the pill a little more tolerable.
Yeah, and then maybe they'll be excited to take it.
Yes, exactly.
Sadie Jim on Instagram is asking, what would you recommend giving a dog who has horrible anxiety due to fireworks? Oh my gosh, every single night in Hollywood, they have been setting off fireworks for the last 2 months. I am not kidding. There are like multiple neighborhood forums about this, and people have been freaking out because their dogs are having panic attacks like every night.
So I get this question twice a year. I get it on 4th of July and on New Year's Eve. And my first response to this is, do not focus on what you can give your dog from a supplement base initially. We will get there. Instead, think about how much you want to spend, how much time you want to spend addressing this behavioral issue. You can address it, but it's very difficult because most people aren't getting fireworks, you know, blown up every day. Now you are, Allison, so you'd be in a perfect position to start addressing this.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll offer addressing some this, services to the neighborhood because I feel bad for these
dogs. For most people, it's just one day. So instead of going through the rigmarole and likely weeks of training that it would require, I suggest setting your dog up to be as comfortable as possible during this time. Mm-hmm. So because we know when fireworks are going to happen, 4th of July, New Year's Eve, we can prepare accordingly. So the first thing we do is on 4th of July, we are going to give our dog a huge day. That dog's going to be at the barbecue. That dog's going to run around, play with toys. I don't want this dog napping. I don't want this dog chilling during the day. Mm-hmm. I want this dog to have a very busy, busy day for him or her, okay? The second thing I would do is look into some sort of blanket or some sort of jacket that you can put around your dog. There's lots of different products out there, but you don't have to buy one. You can also just use your own clothes, maybe a tight-fitted t-shirt or something. One that I really like is called the Thunder Jacket, and it's a jacket that you put around your dog, and it tends to calm them down. You know, a lot of people out there use the weighted blanket to calm them down, eases their anxiety. So this is the weighted blanket of the dog world. And they're also really useful to have during loud thunderstorms too. And that, for a lot of dogs, calms them down almost immediately. In my experience, I'd say clients who incorporate that type of technique, 50% of the time, the dog becomes immediately calm and then there are no other issues. Now, for the other 50%, it doesn't work, but it might help decrease some of that anxiety. The biggest thing I want people to understand is that if the fireworks go off and your dog starts whining or barking or shaking, your instinct is to go to the dog and pick them up and say, "It's okay, I got you, yada, yada, yada." And while that might make us feel good, it doesn't necessarily make the dog feel good. If it does and you see that the anxiety goes away, then I might say go for it. But what's more likely to happen is that you end up reinforcing this undesirable behavior. You're essentially telling your dog, "Good job, I'm glad you're scared. Thanks for pointing this out to us." You know, like, you're not really taking ownership of that. So instead, I would set them up with a lot of exercise, have that comfort shirt on, give them plenty of things to do to occupy their mind. Maybe they're in a back bedroom where it's not as loud. They've got some Frozen Kongs and peanut butter in there. They have some puzzle toys. Maybe you have some music going, and let them ride it out. It's, you know, for there are dogs where it'll be too extreme and you might have to be with them. But for most dogs, they're like, "Oh, this is really uncomfortable. The noise is too loud. It hurts my ears. Just give me my space," and they'll work through it. And again, it's happening twice a year, so it's hard to train in advance. But I think if pet parents follow the tips I just gave, at the very least, you're going to see a decrease in anxiety behavior. And at the very most, you'll have a dog who's like, "Cool, show me the fireworks."
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think that's a thing too? I've always wondered about this, and I'm so glad it's coming up. If I took my dog outside where there was another dog being super chill and my dog was freaking out, do you think my dog would be able to register like, "Oh, I can be calm in this situation"?
Possibly. That if your dog was to calm down, we would call that modeling. And with exotic animals, modeling actually has a pretty high success rate. Mm-hmm. For example, you might see a chimpanzee who's already been trained to, you know, tap its head and get an apple, and another chimpanzee can watch that and go, "Oh, I got it. I'll just tap my head and get an apple." So they learn from modeling the other chimpanzee. Dogs aren't as intelligent, so modeling doesn't always work as quickly or as effectively. But there is a type of mentality where they go, "Oh, everyone's cool. Everyone's cool. Mm-hmm. So I guess I can be cool too." But you bring up actually a even better point, which is I would ask the pet parents, "How are you responding to the fireworks?" You anticipating your dog being anxious and going, Fifi, come here, it's okay. And the dog goes, oh, I guess I need to be anxious right now. When if you said nothing, Fifi would have been cool. So watch how you're responding. Your dog is watching you. Your dog is watching you for how you respond, how you react, how you look. They read your facial expressions. Dogs have picked, we know that dogs can pick up our facial reactions, and they use that to make decisions. So watch how you're behaving, okay? For all the parents out there to children, first of all, good job. And second of all, you know that if your kid falls and you go, oh, are you okay? The kid's going to start crying. Totally. But if the kid falls and you say, you're good, get up. The kid's like, oh, I guess I am good. So practice that same behavior with your pets.
Yeah, it's kind of like the separation anxiety. You know, if you make it a big deal, then it is a big deal. And if you try
and
play it down, you coined it. You said, like, be cool and your dog will be cool.
There you go.
Hey, I actually have a question for you guys before we go.
Okay.
This is the producer. My name's Anosh for the listeners. So you guys might not know this about me, actually, but I have a 19-year-old daughter. And I had her when I was 14, I guess. And last year, she wanted to go on this big Europe trip last year with her friend. And I didn't really approve, but I was going through a divorce at the time with her mother. So I wanted to seem like the cool, understanding dad who like let her go to Europe and have fun, you know? Anyway, so she got to Paris and was immediately abducted by Eastern European human traffickers.
Oh.
I know, awful. But luckily, I used my experience with my years in the CIA, and I used my very special skills to kill a bunch of bad guys, and I got her back home, and she was safe. Good. Now, I know you're thinking, Anosh, isn't that just the plot to the movie Taken? Mm-hmm. But it's not, and here's why. Because when my daughter got home, she was very traumatized, you know, so we decided to get her a therapy puppy, right?
Aww.
And this puppy loved to tear up dog bones, and he had this really strong bite, right? But then when I put my hand in his mouth, he wouldn't bite down. He would just kind of like gently gnaw in a playful way, right? So my question is, do dogs and cats understand their own strength? Because they never seem to hurt me, even though they could.
Well, it's certainly taken me a lot of time to find the answers to these types of questions. So puppies do not actually, most kittens do not either. And in fact, that's one of the important reasons you want your puppies and kittens to socialize with other puppies and kittens. If you can find a safe way to do that, when they socialize, that's how they start to learn their own strength. Or in the case of these young animals, the fact that their teeth are like needles and razor blades. So although they might not have the power to chomp down through your hand, just a little bit of pressure is certain to cause some discomfort or pain. For families out there who have a puppy and you have children or you are planning on having children, I want you to take some time and go educate yourself on a term called bite inhibition, okay? Bite inhibition. You may want to consider working with a professional trainer on this, but what it's going to do is hopefully save you some heartache in the future if your puppy turns into a grown dog and accidentally bites somebody. For example, if you are cooking and you drop a pan, the dog may hear that sound and react instinctively and turn around and bite you or a child nearby. It's not biting you or the child to get back at you or angry at you. It might not even been done intentionally in the way that you and I think of intentional behavior. But if the dog has not been trained on bite inhibition, then that bite, that initial bite, can turn into a strong grip, maybe even some tearing or ripping back and forth before they let go. That's how people get injured. A dog who's been trained on bite inhibition, however, will still turn around and put their mouth around, you know, the person's arm or leg, but then they've been trained to go, whoops, that's an arm or leg, I'm going to now let go. And so that contact with the skin means let go. For example, Callie, and you can only do this as a puppy, by the way. I'm actually not even sure that it's even possible to do for a full, like a 1 or 2 year old dog. But for example, Callie, I trained her on this. So if my hand goes in her mouth, if a kid's hand goes in her mouth, she immediately drops the ball, drops the toy, backs up. She knows, oh, that's not okay. And so bite inhibition is something that I wish all new puppy parents would train. But to get back to your question, Anosh, no, they don't understand. They don't understand. And that's what they're doing. They're putting their mouth on your hand to explore that, to see what that is. And if you reinforce it, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do more of it. And reinforcing it might be playing with them with your hand in their mouth, which I do not recommend. It might be even you saying, we don't bite. They don't know English. All they heard was, yes, 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 keep doing more of that. So you want to make very clear distinctions that biting is not something we do in this household. So if I'm playing with a new puppy, we're playing on a rope, I keep playing with them because that play is reinforcing them playing with the rope. I might even have some treats and say, hey, as long as you keep playing with this rope, I'm going to feed you treats. But as soon as they leave the rope and go to my hand, I take the rope, I stand up, I walk away, they lose me, they lose the treats, and they lose playtime. Very quickly, they'll learn, oh, if I want to interact with mom and dad and I don't want them to leave, I just got to avoid their hand and play with these toys. That's how you raise a responsible adult dog.
Boom, baby. Mic drop.
Oh, that's good. Well,
Kenny.
Yeah. That's good. Well, that's helpful. And I'm certainly never letting my daughter go back to Europe again. I'll tell you that much.
And well done for getting her back. I mean, right, you did it. I remember you telling me the story. It only took you like 90 minutes to do it.
It was. I was very quick. I took out like 200 bad guys in 90 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
They train you very well in the CIA. So luckily I had that particular set of skills to help me.
Oh, very good. Well, Allison, I love hearing from you, so you can hit me up at Kyle Kittleson all over the internets.
You can find me at Allison Seeky, mainly on Instagram, but hey, if you find me somewhere, follow me, do it.
Hey, if you find her somewhere else, send it to me too. I want to stay up. I only know your
Kyle,
Instagram.
Kyle, that sounds dirty. You're not going to find anything dirty on me, guys, promise.
Make sure you guys go to my OnlyFans.com/Kyle Kittleson.
Really?
No.
Not yet. Maybe next
First
month.
Of all, I don't judge anyone who has an OnlyFans. If that's how, girl, it
No, I have thought about
a
it.
A pandemic.
Yeah.
Look, if someone wants to pay me $50 for a picture of my feet, hit me up on Instagram. So we also want to hear from you. Send us your pet-related questions, and we'll answer them right here on the show. And check out the Pet Collective store at petcollective.shop. petcollective.shop for tons of amazing things for you and your furry family. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
The Pet Collective podcast is produced by Jukin Media and The Pet Collective. Head producer, Anosh McAdam. Associate producer, Brandon Kendall. And our original score is composed by Corey Celeste.